listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today I'm joined by Natasha Menifee, our Content Editor. Hello, Natasha.
Hello, Mark. Today we are at Session 5 in the study of A Name Like No Other, and today's topic is the righteousness of God's name. This session focuses on how goodness is still a virtue, even in our culture where everyone is doing what's right in their own eyes. People still consider goodness to be a virtue lifted up. This session is important because it teaches us that righteous living is never defined by our own efforts. The standard is God Himself. We cannot achieve any degree of righteousness on our own, but God made it possible for us to be made righteous through Jesus Christ.
All right. So we can know righteousness when we know and walk with Jesus. Why is the name of God righteous? Well, here's the first thought. Righteousness is epitomized by God. Jeremiah 23:5-6. Look, the days are coming. This is the Lord's declaration, when I will raise up a righteous branch for David. He will reign wisely as king and administer justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. This is the name he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. And so this is a great little passage here. Righteousness is epitomized by God himself. Notice what it says about this one. He'll reign wisely. He will administer justice and righteousness. God's people will be saved. And His name would testify that the Lord is our righteousness. And so that would be Jehovah Tiskanu in Hebrew, Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord, our righteousness. And so this is a great little passage here. So if you want to see righteousness, don't look in the mirror. You're not going to find the best example of righteousness there. Don't look at your friends or your coworkers or your neighbors or your classmates. You're not going to see the best example of righteousness there. In fact, the scripture says of us, all our righteousness is like filthy rags. But so who can we look to for righteousness? We have to look at the one who is righteous himself, and that is God himself. And so he says that he's going to raise up a righteous branch for David. Well, ultimately, the righteous branch for David is Jesus. So if we want to see what righteousness really looks like, we need to look at him. Look at Jesus. Because he is God in the flesh. And so if you want to see what righteousness looks like, we have to look at the righteous God. Because he is the only one who can display the true essence of righteousness. We try, but only he can do it fully. What are you seeing here, Natasha?
I agree, Mark. I will raise up a righteous branch for David. Was the first thing that jumped out for me. God himself will raise up the righteous branch. There's nothing that we can do to be righteous. And only through Christ can we be made righteous. Even at that, we are made righteous. We are not righteous in and of ourselves, as you said. And so this passage just reminds us of the focus that righteousness is only found in God, and all those descriptions in 5 and 6. The Lord will raise up. Justice and righteousness will be administered by him. It is not anything of ourselves. And only Christ is the standard of righteousness, not me, not any human around me. So we don't need to think too righteously of ourselves or look down on anyone else. Christ alone is our standard, and only through him are we able to be made righteous before God.
All right. So righteousness is epitomized by God. Here's our second thought. Righteousness is not in us. Let's jump up to the New Testament in the book of Romans, starting at verse number 3. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. All alike have become worthless. There is no one who does what is good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They deceive with their tongues. Viperous venom is under their lips. And so here is the way it talks about and describes us, because there's none of us are righteous. We have all messed up. And we all continue to find ways, come on, to mess up. And so there is no righteousness in us. The idea of righteousness is the idea of meeting God's holy standard. And the only way we can measure God's standard is by God himself. And so these verses remind us that none of us are perfect. Come on, touch your neighbor and tell them none of y'all are perfect. And none of us fully live in full and utterly complete alignment with who God is. God is holy. God is just. God is all loving. God is merciful. God is gracious. God is good. And so we have to be 100% of all of these at all times. You can never, you know, fly off the handle. You can never, cuss people out. You can never cheat. You can never backstab. You can never gossip. You can never criticize. Anytime you do any of these, you have come below the standard of righteousness. And so this is important for us to think about, because none of us meet that holy standard. And this is why this verse in this passage speaks so clearly to us. There are none righteous, not even one. Not even one. But the Bible does say about Jesus that he was tested in every part, just like we are, yet without sin. Only he is equivalent to the holy standard of righteousness, which is God himself. So don't measure yourself by your neighbor, because it's always easy to find somebody who's at our level. But we're not talking about being at any of our level. We're talking about being as good as Jesus, straight as an arrow, having never varied in our lifetime. Come on. This is why it doesn't work for any of us. So, and it just says, we're just messed up. Our words are messed up. Our tongues are messed up. And if the Bible says, if we offend in one point, so you might think you're pretty good. I know there's somebody who's still thinking, well, I'm still pretty good. I'm way better than 10,000 people. You might be. But the Bible says, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of it all. So if you can find one little thing that you've offended in, that you missed the mark in, you are guilty of it all. This is why we need Jesus. Come on. This is why we need Jesus. All right. What are you thinking here, Natasha?
I heard a preacher say once, it's tight, but it's right. So all I can say is ouch. So I think you hit the nail on the head. There's not one of us that's righteous. None of us. So we can't look to the left. We can't look to the right. We can only look to Jesus, who is our standard for righteousness and our way to righteousness. So I think this is just a hard but truthful reminder that none of us have hit it. None of us have reached the mark or achieved anything, that we still need Jesus in order to live this thing out.
All right. So here's the third thing. Righteousness is through Christ. So he brings, I'll say this after I read this. All right. So verse 21, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, since there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God presented him as the mercy seat by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his restraint, God passed over the sins previously committed. God presented him to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and justify the one who has faith in Jesus. And so there are a couple of great words in this section here for us to consider. So one is justified. So we're all, so remember it says that we are all sinners. We all have sinned, and we have all fallen short of God's righteous standard. And so we need somebody who can justify us. Justify, that is, to make us look just as if I had not sinned. And the way he does this is through, we achieve this through redemption. That is God buying us out of the slave market of sin, redemption. Jesus sacrificed his blood on Calvary's cross in order to pay the price for our sin, so that we could be removed, redeemed, bought out of the sin market. He buys us with his blood in order that we might be, and then covers us with his blood so that we can be made to look just as if we have never sinned. And so he goes on and talks about this, but this is a great passage for us as we're thinking about this. We can't fix ourselves, and we can't justify ourselves, but we can be justified when we submit ourselves to the atoning work and redemptive work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. What are you thinking here, Natasha?
Yeah, the word all stuck out to me as well. Romans in 3 and 23 that all have sinned. Sin is that great equalizer because all means all. When we teach a class to our children called First Steps at our church, teaching them about the first steps of their salvation, we highlight this verse and we go through a list of people and we let them go through a list of people to highlight the fact that do those people sin? Yes, all have sinned, and there's no one who has gone through this world and not sinned except for Jesus. So while all have sinned, all also have access to God and his righteousness through Jesus because he never sinned. And so that's what stood out to me in these verses. Yes, all may have sinned, but all also have the opportunity through faith in Christ to have access to God and his righteousness through the redemptive work of Christ. So that's just encouraging. Even though that we just learned in the previous section that we've all missed the mark and we are all filthy rags, we all have access to righteousness and to be justified through faith in Christ.
All right. So let me add this thought. 1 John, they used chapter 4, but let me use chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, 1 and 2. My little children, I'm writing to you, I'm writing these things so that you do not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Only the righteous one can fix this for us. He himself, remember we talked about this construction again, he himself, emphatic, is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So this word here, sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice, is the Greek word elasmos. So it is sometimes translated, if you look in the King James Version, it's sometimes translated propitiation. And propitiation talks about the appeasement of God's anger, that God was angry at us because of sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ removed God's anger for the sin, paid off God's anger for the sin from which we are committed. Another way that this is translated is the word expiation. So sin, propitiation says that sin separates us from God and God is angry over the sin and has to be paid. Expiation says that sin defiles us. And so what the blood of Jesus does, God does, is cleanses us from the defilement that sin has brought on our lives. Both are part of the fullest understanding of what it means to be this atonement means. Propitiation is one side of the understanding. Expiation is the other side of the explanation. We need both of these to understand the fullness of the atoning sacrifice that we have received through Jesus Christ, his death on Calvary's cross for our lives. Wow, this is going to be a tremendous lesson. And I know you're going to be blessed in it. So if you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on just for a moment. Natasha is going to give us a powerful 1 minute teaching tip. But I want everybody to know that you need to get your own copy of the You Bible Study. You can find it at you.lifeway.com. That's you.lifeway.com. It is our urban cultural forward Bible study. It comes in paper and digital formats. The teacher's guide is in the back of the book. There are daily devotional pages to keep us engaged in the scriptures every day. And there's a leader's pack to make the lessons even more powerful. And it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. All right, Natasha, give us our teaching tip for today.
So our teaching tip for today is to pray for our learners. We want to pray that learners are open to receiving instruction and the message that redemption and righteousness is through faith in Christ Jesus. Also pray for yourself. that the Spirit of God will lead and guide you while preparing and teaching this lesson.
All right, this is great and powerful. Join us again for another You Bible Study podcast, my friends, because you never know where God will take you.